Nice to see a good-sized audience this morning. I figured a lot of you would probably be in visiting with John this morning. But we're glad you're here because I have a lesson that I truly am pleased to give this morning. And I want to talk a little bit here this morning about God's love for each one of us here this morning. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think sometimes we lose the fact how much God really cares for each of us. We lose the fact that we get into our problems sometimes in earthly life and we think maybe God's let us down. He's not as close as He was. Most of my Bible reading at home the last several weeks has come from the Old Testament. The children of Israel and they're wandering around. And now I'm kind of into the Kings where the father was a very well-established king doing God's will, doing what God wanted him to do, and the son comes along behind his father and takes them back to the idol worship, takes them away from God, making God happy. God is not pleased, and the next time it seems like the next king comes along and he goes back to pleasing God, tears down all the idols, sets up the worship service again, and it just seems like a continually rotating situation there. And it's hard to understand why, if you worshiped under your father's time that he served and he was such a good king, why would you go off and be such a bad king and go back to all your idol worship and that? But God does deeply and intimately love us, and He loves us unconditionally. There is nothing, as we just read, that can separate us to get us God not to love us. Each and every one of us here this morning, or those who serve Him, God loves very well, very much. Knowing that God loves each of us is very important in our life. And it's very important because we need that love to understand the gospel that God has left to guide us and direct us. The entire gospel is really based on God's love and His love for His mankind that He created. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother." Many times I've brought lessons about this, as I thought I knew what love was before I accepted Christ in my life, but it wasn't a very deep love. It was very shallow and very personal thing. 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So before we loved God, God loved each of us. And He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die to give us hope. The good news is that God hasn't withheld His love from us. Instead, God has poured out His love into our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." I think we all really know the depth of God's love for each of us, and we all know our love for God, but sometimes it might weaken a little bit, and that's what I want to challenge our minds to this morning as we think about these thoughts. Most of us have times when we feel insecure. We're insecure about the future. We're insecure about our relationships. We're even insecure about ourselves sometimes. Part of the reason why we have times of insecurity is because most of us are experts at putting ourselves down. We know our faults, we know our weaknesses, and we know our failures very well. We know many things that we don't like about ourselves, and lots of things we would like to change if we could. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For by the grace given unto me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Romans 12:3. I think this is a very important verse. And in applying that to my lesson, while we occasionally meet people who do think more highly of themselves than they should, it's more common for people not to think as highly of themselves as they should. In this highly competitive society like we live in, our self-esteem does take a beating regularly. It is so easy to think about all the things that are wrong with us. It is easy to come to the point sometimes that we even don't like ourselves and the things that we're doing. And that's the reason this morning that we're going to focus our attention on the greatest need people in this world have. The most powerful force on earth that can help us overcome the struggles we have with feeling good about ourselves is God's love. The greatest need we have to realize how much God loves us. We need to come to realize how special we are in God's eyes, and we need to know how important God thinks we are. We need to realize that the promises God makes to us are meant for each of us personally. There's nothing that has more power to help us overcome negative feelings about ourselves than put downs that others might hurl at us than God's love. That's the most important thing in our life, is God's love. We need to think about that continually when we're having problems, or like it says here, when other people are making us feel down and out. Three statements I'd like for you to think about is, God knows you so well. The second statement is, He loves you so much. The third statement is, He can help you so powerfully. And I just feel like I am an example of what God can do with nothing. When I accepted Christ, to me, He had very little to work with. As I've mentioned many times, I couldn't stand before people and deliver a message. I couldn't even stand up here and read the scriptures. All you had to do was read them, you know, and it's God is so powerful in helping each of us if we'll let Him. If we come to realize the truth in these three statements, it will radically transform the way we think about ourselves. It will help teach you how to handle your problems and how to treat other people. But we have to learn to take God's word personally. We have to realize he's talking to us, like the lessons was talking about in the Old Testament. That was for them people and about them people, but he's also trying to teach us a lesson and give us an example of what his love is really like. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." If we take the scriptures personally, as this very familiar verse here with each of us, I'm sure we've heard it hundreds of times. We're very familiar with it. Most of us could recite it, should be able to recite it without even looking at it. It's a very familiar verse. And in this verse, Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." The problem that many people have is not believing that God is a loving God. What we have trouble believing is that God loves us personally. Therefore, we need to learn to personalize the scriptures. One way of doing that is by substituting our name here for these nouns and pronouns that apply to God's love and God's promise. If I were to do that with this verse, I would read, "For God so loved Bob Flack that he gave his only Son, that if Bob Flack believes in him, he should not perish but have eternal life." We need to learn to do the same with all the scriptures. Put ourselves in that personal realm of what God is dealing with in that situation. We need to substitute our names in the appropriate places. If you have trouble accepting God's love or believing his promises, this technique could certainly help. The wonderful news we celebrate is that God does love each one of us so much that if you or I were the only person on earth, the only person on earth, he would have done everything he did just for us. Therefore, it's our need to learn to take God's love and promises personally. This is the greatest need we have. As a Christian, this is the greatest need we have. To accept God's love and realize that he loves each one of us so much that he would have did everything he did just for us, just for me, and just for you. In a world of billions of people, it's very easy for us to wonder if God really knows each one of us personally. Does God know me? Does he know my problems? Does God even care? These are questions that many people ask. And if we look at Psalms 139, we have the answers to these questions and many more. While there are many translations of this psalm, the Living Bible puts it so clearly. Think about these portions of this psalm as recorded in the Living Bible that speak about how well God knows us. "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit or when I stand. When far away, you know my every thought. Every moment, you know where I am." Verses 1, 2, and 3 of the 39th Psalm. So as you can see there, God knows us very well. Again, we take these verses from the Old Testament, but they also mean so much to us today. Also in this psalm, the Living Bible does an excellent job of describing how long God has known each of us. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. And how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in the utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born. Verses 13 through 16 of the 139th Psalm. Finally, this psalm teaches us that God still knows us. From the Living Bible, again it says, "How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me." Verses 17 and 18. What a wonderful and powerful message that this gives to us. What a wonderful and powerful message Psalms brings to us. God knows everything about us. He has known us intimately since before we were born. He thinks about us constantly. We don't have to wonder about the answers to these questions that I just asked. Does God know me? Does he know my problems? Does he even care? I think this 139th Psalm clearly declares that God does know and God does care. As we read the Psalms, there's many Psalms that reflect a rich diversity of thoughts about God. There are Psalms of repentance, Psalms which people cry out for help. There are Psalms in which people register complaints, and Psalms in which people speak about the blessings. There are Psalms of thanksgiving and Psalms in which people say they wonder where God is and why he is so slow. In dealing with the problems that we have. The rich diversity here, these Psalms, reflects life. At different times in our lives, we have different experiences. At different times in our lives, we want to say different things to God. One psalm which the Israelites used to remind themselves of God's goodness to them is Psalms 136. The message that we hear over and over in this psalm is, "For his steadfast love endureth forever." What this means is that God's love is unending. He will never stop loving us. We can count on God's love. We can depend on God. The other thing this psalm ought to remind us of is that God's love is not just words but action. God showed his love towards the people of the Old Testament by the things that he did for them. And this psalm recalls some very practical, important things that God did for those people. When they needed help, God was there for them in powerful ways. It's very interesting reading when we read about the Israelites and their journeying around and how God took care of them and how he would get discouraged with them, but he still loved them. Not saying this morning that we can't discourage God in our actions, but we can't cause God not to love us, each one of us. God wants us to remember the same lesson here that He's teaching these Israelites. When we need God's help, He will be there for us in powerful ways. God didn't just love the people told about in the Bible. God's love endures forever. He never stops loving people. He will love us from before we are born until after we die. That's how long His love lasts. And that ought to bring us great encouragement in our lives. It is amazing how easy it is when we're going through a difficult time to begin to feel like God doesn't care about us. It is easy to feel as though we have been cut off from His love. But this passage assures us that there is nothing that can cut us off from God's love. And as I was putting these thoughts together, I thought, there are some here this morning that probably have gone through a lot more difficult times than others here this morning. And I think about how many times when we lose somebody close to us or somebody in our family becomes deathly ill. Whatever it is that really brings us to thinking about life and God and our situation, you hear so many times, I don't know why God did this. And these same questions that I've been bringing forth here this morning, I think, runs through our minds. Why did God do this thing? It's like this morning's paper reading about the young lady that got hit by the guy that didn't have any license. Why did it happen? We can't tell why that situation happened. But we know God still loves everybody in that family. He still loves that young lady. And I'm sure God still loves the individual that ran over that little girl. But I'm sure He's discouraged with the fact that He wishes that He would do things different in His life. In the moment that we claim God's great gift of forgiving love, it is applicable to us. Right here and right now, whenever you accept God's love, it is forever. What laws and morals and rules and regulations can never do, God has done on our behalf. And it is this that makes us very sons and daughters of God. It is this that makes life significant, meaningful, and gives point and purpose to our living. I feel like that is so truthful in my life. Again, before I accepted Christ, I thought I had a good life. I thought I was doing things that I like to do, and I thought I was enjoying life to its fullest. But when I accepted God's love, that made my life significant, meaningful, and it gave me a point and purpose for living. Nothing at all can come between us and our loving God. Our feelings of guilt and depressions will rise and haunt us, but they will in no way alter God's redeeming and accepting love. Not that is, unless we live in accord with such foolish feelings and neglect to hear and abide by God's love and God's word. The tragedies and conflicts of this life will discourage us, but they in no way change God's attitude or stifle His love for us. He is there. He is there always. And He is there waiting to help us. So powerful. Failures and defeats may trip us up, but such do not affect our relationship to God. We need to remember that. That is so important. Our boat will rock. The earth will tremble. Revolutions will shake up governments and institutions. Our traditions may be nullified. Our convictions threatened. Every temporal security may crumble, but God's love and reconciling grace are forever, and He will never let us go. Basically, if our allegiance is to God and our faith is fixed on Him, the very atrocities that seek to destroy us become the means by which He carries out His will in us and through us. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God as revealed and proclaimed and demonstrated through Jesus Christ. We are the sons and daughters of God, His servants and His disciples. I leave this message with you this morning. Again, most of us know how powerful God's love is. We just have a weakness of kind of letting it slip away from us, maybe, at times when we're having difficulties. But just remember, nothing at all in our life can disrupt the love God has for us. God is waiting there, ready and willing to help each of us if we'll let Him share His love in our situation. We offer you the invitation this morning. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, we offer you that opportunity this morning. Come forth and confess the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Or if you have accepted Jesus and erred in any way and would like to make that right before your Lord and the congregation here, if we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.